and find healing and love and most of all, your presence. So, Father, as you're here today, would you fall fresh? Would you anoint us? Would you fill us to overflowing with that sense of your being and moving? And, Father, would you move today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day. Those words have a real warmth to them. You know, they kind of conjure up images of a Norman Rockwell kind of world that was of days, not days gone by, but decades gone by. A world in which, well, life was a whole lot more simple than it is today. It was a world where every family lived on a cute little street in a cute little house with a white picket fence, and every Sunday morning people walked down the street to go to a church that was a white frame building with a steeple. It was a world where people lived in tranquil, calm, sterile environments. And of course, everyone lived happy ever after. But today, on Mother's Day in 2016, we have awakened to a far different world than the one that Norman Rockwell lived in 1959. We don't live on a street in Disneyland where they sweep the streets perfect every night and where there's an ice cream stand on every corner. But in the world we live in, there aren't a whole lot of happy faces on the street. There aren't a lot of people who are living happy ever after, is there? You see, we live in the real world, and on this day, Mother's Day, today, here in this room, not only here in this room, but out into the world we're called to reach, there are mothers whose dreams have been smashed. There are mothers whose hopes have been dashed and you know, struggling and just kind of hanging on by a thread. And the challenge of the church is to build a wall high enough so that it reaches up to that cliff that people are falling off trying to stop the destruction in the home. And while at the same time we're to build that wall, we're supposed to hold the standards of God's word high. And then we have to make sure that we have an ambulance down at the bottom below the cliff to help bandage those who come up wounded. The fact is, for a lot of people, not just mothers, Mother's Day is a rough time. That's a fact. So here we are, Mother's Day, and I really struggled with who I should talk about today. There are a lot of mothers that we could have used as a role model today. I thought of using the Proverbs 31 woman, that woman who was a virtuous woman, who just did everything right, but I thought, you know what, some people may be, you know, put off by that or hurt by that or feel guilty. And then I thought about preaching about Naomi. Then I thought about Hannah. And Hannah was that sweet mother of prayer who saw God answer her prayers in miraculous ways. I wondered about the Shunammite woman and Mary and Ruth and all of that. But today I want to look at a mother who I would guess there wouldn't be one in a million messages preached about today. She is almost lost in that beautiful story of Abraham and Sarah. You know, God had promised Sarah that he would make his descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea. And one night he told him that his seed would number as the stars. Yet Abraham couldn't wait on God's promise. He couldn't wait. I mean, it didn't look like God was going to come through at all. And so Abraham took it upon himself to help God out with his promise. And in his impatience, in his manipulation, he took Hagar into his home, and he had a son with her. Abraham, imagine, that great man of faith made mistakes just like every one of us. Today I want to focus on this mother, Hagar, Because in Hagar, we see the plight of many modern mothers. And not just mothers, but the plight of many people, even here in this room. And her story begins in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 14. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it to the boy, gave the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. I just got new glasses, Peter. You can take notes. Thank you. And I got them pushed back, too. He sent her away. He sent her away. Aren't those haunting words? And yet, there's some in this room, and certainly in our community, who have heard those words and have been rejected and sent away. And you know, it's not always the dad's fault, because a lot of times the dad wants to be there. But Abraham sent her away, and it says that she departed and wandered. No direction, she just wanders. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And I wonder how many times moms, mothers, here today even, have separated themselves and gone into a room away from her children so that they wouldn't see her weeping. That's what Hagar was doing. And you know, a mom is never happier than when her kids are happy. And I mean, it doesn't matter if she has had 6 or 8 children. If one of them isn't happy, mom's not happy. And so Hagar weeps. Verse 17 says, "And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and he said to her, 'What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" Abraham gave her a goat skin. God gave her a well. But I wonder how many moms here today have been in that place where you just felt lost. I want to bring Hagar to center stage this morning, because I think she's one of the most forgotten people in all of the Word of God. And in her story, we see 3 things that we can, every one of us in this room can relate to. We see the plight of many modern mothers. And we see the fight of many modern mothers. Mothers who have a fight going on trying to protect their children from the culture that we live in. But not only the plight and the fight, we see the might of many modern mothers. She has strength, as we'll see. And when that strength is what it was that turned her situation from being helpless and hopeless into something where God came alongside of her and he blessed her and her boy. So the first thing I want us to see is what we see in verses 14 through 16, where we see that plight of many modern mothers. And we see these things in Hagar. First of all, we see hurting. We see hungry. We see hopelessness. But the first thing is this hurting in verse 14. It says, "Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Don't you see her hurting in that? When you read that verse, you can just see the hurting that she's feeling. And Hagar is a victim here. Her fate wasn't her fault. It was a result of Abraham's impatience and his manipulation, his refusal to believe God, to trust God. And because of those wrong choices he made then, we are still dealing with them today in our world. But don't blame Hagar. She's an actor in this scene. And I want you to see Hagar as God sees her, because she's hurting. And she's like a whole lot of modern mothers today. And by the way, Abraham wasn't a bad man. In fact, he was a good man from what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. But he did make mistakes, and he got into a situation where he had to make some hard decisions. He loved Ishmael. He loved him. There wasn't any joy in what he did and what he had to do. And in verse 14, it says that he sent her away. He sent her away. Tough, tough words. And Hagar knew what it was like to feel rejected. And so did that little boy. Talk about a plight. Talk about that plight in so many lives and families today. She was on her own. There was nobody to fix the car. There was nobody to fix a leaking faucet or to help with the kids. She was on her own. And what it says next is even more haunting. It says that she wandered. She didn't know where to go or what to do. She wandered. No direction. No purpose in life. And isn't that the plight of so many modern mothers? So today, as we sit here in this room, let's remember those who we are called to reach with the gospel. Let's remember those with whom the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, spent his entire earthly ministry with. Those who had been rejected. She wasn't in a good place. She was sent away. She was rejected. And so it says she wandered. But not only do we see Hagar hurting here, we see her hungry. Verse 15 says, "And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs." You know, it was bad enough for her to be hurting, but to be hungry also. You know, she's hungry. Her provisions have all dried up, and the resources have run dry. And that emotional strain has now been complicated by the physical limitations she finds herself in. And so now she's not only hurting, but she's hungry. She was hurting without protection. She was hungry without provision. That's the plight of so many modern mothers today. You see them down in the milk program at First Baptist Church. You see them at the soup kitchen. You see them at St. Vincent de Paul. And some of them have been sent away, and they're just wandering. They're hungry and hurting. But you know, it's not only the women who are living hand to mouth who are hungry and hurting. There are women who live in Avery Acres. There are women who live out in Point Deschene or wherever who have all that the world can offer, who have all kinds of things, but they're starving emotionally. They're starving spiritually. And then the third thing that we see here is the plight of many modern mothers. In verse 16, it says that she was not only hurting and hungry, but she was hopeless. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." And so she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice. So now we see her hopeless. She's pouring her heart out. She's coming before God, and she's weeping and sobbing. And I wonder if there's anyone here today that could identify with that. Not just the hurting and the hungry and feeling hopeless, but totally hopeless, you know? She didn't want her little boy to see her crying, and so she gets off by herself. And I know that there are women who have gone into a bedroom, closed the door, and wept because you didn't want to see your kids weeping. You didn't want your kids to see you weeping. Hagar felt hopeless. And that is the plight of so many modern mothers today. She's hurting without protection, abandoned and wandering. She's hungry without provision. Everything is gone. And she is hopeless without peace because she's at the end of her rope. And the only thing left to do is cry. It's a pretty bleak picture that I've painted. But now here's the good part. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because the second thing we see from this passage is the fight of many modern mothers. We go from the plight of those who are hurting and hungry and hopeless to the plight of many modern mothers. Mothers who are fighting in this culture, this society that we live in, to try and see their children raised in a protected environment. And the first thing we see here is her expectation in verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." Those words gave her a thread of hope. Those words brought light to the darkness in that tunnel she was in. She had reason for expectation because it says the angel of God called to her. So who was that angel? Was it Michael? Was it Gabriel? This is what we call, in theological jargon, a Christophanes. And a Christophanes was a visit, a pre-incarnate visit from none other than Jesus Christ himself. Before his incarnation, the Lord appeared several times in the Old Testament. You remember the story of the three Hebrew boys who were in the fiery furnace, and the fourth man showed up. It was none other than the Lord himself. And today, we see that he shows up with Hagar. And he just has a way of doing that to people who are hurting and hopeless, hungry, those who are struggling. The angel of God calls to Hagar out of heaven, and look what he says. God has heard the voice of the lad. Is there anything that tugs at your heartstrings more than hearing a child pray? It says God heard the prayer of the lad. Some of us need to hear those words. Some of us need to hear the words, "Fear not, for God has heard." The fight of many modern mothers in their expectation. But look at the second thing. It's encouragement. Verse 18. It says, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." I wonder how many mothers today are fighting to do just that, to lift up their kids in the culture that we live in. Because so much of what this culture is all about is nothing less than stripping away the innocence and integrity of children. But let's look at Hagar's encouragement here, because it says that she lifted that boy up. And I think that one of the most important things that we can do as parents is to build self-esteem and self-worth into our children. It's a fight for many. But I think that if Hagar can do it, every one of us can do it. And we see her expectation, we see her encouragement, and then thirdly, we see her example. Lift up the lad and hold him with your hand. That's parental responsibility. Show him the way. Be an example. Don't leave them to themselves. You know, if you look behind the lives of most successful people, you find a mom or a dad who literally took them by the hand and walked with them and talked with them and led by example. Just what we see here in verse 18. Lift him up and hold him by the hand. And the fight of so many modern mothers, and what we see when we look at Hagar is this expectation, and we see this encouragement, and we see the example that she sets by taking him by the hand. But finally, we turn our attention from the plight of many modern mothers to the fight of many modern mothers, and now it's the might of many modern mothers. And the first thing, look at her provision in verse 19. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the lad to drink. Remember, Abraham gave her a goat skin, but God gave her a whole well of water. Earlier, we've seen the plight that she was in. She was hurting, she was hopeless, she was helpless, and hungry, and then she calls out to God, and she lifts up the boy. She begins to fight, and she took him by the hand, and then God moved. And now look at her provision as he became her provider. God gave her that well. Do you get the picture? I mean, think about it. She is agonizing. She is weeping. She's broken. She's struggling. There's nothing left. All resources are gone. But all that time, all the while, there's a well right nearby. Think about that, folks, because that's the spiritual condition of the world we live in. There are those who are wandering and perishing and hungry and hopeless, and they don't know that there's a well nearby. Remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about the woman at the well. What a great, great story. What a great, great picture that is. How John paints this tells us about when the Lord met the woman at the well, and Jesus talked about a well that would never dry up. And when you drink from it, you never thirst again. Now, I got a rabbit trail, just a two-minute rabbit trail here, just because I can. This is a treasure. Do you know where Moses found his wife? At a well. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, found at a well. Rachel was found by Jacob at a well. And here in John chapter 4, not here, but in John chapter 4, Jesus finds this woman at the well. But here's the thing. This woman was the very first Gentile convert, not Cornelius the Italian. She was the very first Gentile convert. And the Lord Jesus finds his church, his bride, that part of his bride, at a well. Is that not awesome? This Samaritan Gentile woman. Okay, that's my rant. But think about it. That well was there all the time. She was in turmoil. Everything, the provisions had all dried up, and the well was there all the time. But Hagar didn't see it until God opened her eyes. And I wonder, folks, how many times has God shown you a well? When hope was gone, when you thought it was over, when things were just so down, and all along, it was right there. You just didn't see it. The well was there all along, but it seemed that she couldn't see it because God had to open her eyes. And some of you are here this morning, and you're so close to what he has for you. I mean, you go to church, you may even be in a small group, but you're not drinking deeply. He wants you to drink deeply from that well. He wants you to go deeper. He's here today to open your eyes. He wants you to see his provision for your life. And he's opening your eyes to a well that will never run dry. And you need to drink from it and drink deeply. You know, some of you are here in this room and you're in bondage to the things that he died to set you free from. You are so close, but you aren't seeing the well. You aren't seeing the well. He wants you to open your eyes. Hagar sees her provision. Secondly, look at her promise. Verse 20. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. I love those words. God was with the lad, and he grew. She hung on to that promise that she heard back in verse 18. And the fact is, folks, that God is always on the side of the oppressed. You know, when we read in the Gospels, we see that Jesus came alongside of those that had been oppressed and rejected. And he died for the down and out because the up and in don't seem to need him. And this woman at the well heard of that living water. Blind Bartimaeus drank from that well. The woman caught in adultery heard of that living water. He always comes to the oppressed, just as we see in our text today. And if you find yourself in some kind of dysfunctional situation today, you need to hear that God has a way of giving you an advantage. He's especially with you. He is for you. And you know, I have found that the one who has known struggle, the person who has known sacrifice and sometimes even suffering, seem to climb higher up the ladder of life than those who have been handed privilege and pampering. Lastly, I want you to see her persistence, not only her provision and her promise, but look at her persistence in verse 21. It says, he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And all the parents said, praise God for arranged marriages. Just saying. Persistence. God gave her the strength to go on, and you know, she had this lasting influence on her son, so that she stood with him until he was married, and then she released him to his wife. A single mom in touch with God can overcome every obstacle in her path. Hagar instilled that love. She instilled respect. She taught him forgiveness. And you know, there's an interesting sideline to this, but really it's the icing on the cake. We see it over in chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. Look at this. Then Abraham breathed his last, and he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite. Can you imagine? What grips me about this story is this little boy who sat under the tree and wept because his father had rejected him. He went back to honor and to respect his father because of that mother's persistence. I get goosebumps when I think about that. The might of many modern mothers, their provision. He opened her eyes and showed her a well. Their promise, God is with them. And their persistence. You can make it. You can make it. So today, on this Mother's Day, folks, let's remember our responsibility is to build that family unit. The home is the hope of our nation. I don't know if you noticed, but our nation isn't doing real good right now, morally, ethically, spiritually, and the home is the hope of it. That's where revival starts, and it has to start in each one of us individually. So think about that as we remember the plight of so many out there in the world we are called to reach who are hurting and hungry and hopeless. That void can only be filled not by something but by someone. The fight of so many who are needing expectations, encouragement, and examples. And finally, the might, because when God is with them, they have lasting influence. So if you're here this morning and you're wondering with no direction, you're just wandering, you're not living, folks, you're existing. Can I ask you to call on God today? Right now, in the quietness of this moment, I want you to know that he'll do for you what he did for Hagar. He'll open your eyes and he will bring you to a well that will never, ever, ever run dry. Christ came as the angel of the Lord. No longer is this pre-incarnate Christ, but he is God in the flesh. As we heard and talked about this morning in the first meeting, he became sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of Christ, taking on his righteousness by grace through faith. Hagar, what a beautiful story. What a forgotten lady. But what a glorious gospel. Let's pray together as the worship band comes up. Father, we're so mindful that you are able. Lord, as we've gathered today, as we've opened your word, your spirit is moving. Father, I pray that you would encourage each heart today to come to that well and to drink deeply. Father, thank you for all that you are, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry, you guys sound awesome. I've let the rest of my band members down by not starting in the right key. So we're going to start again, but please sing like you just were, because it was sounding great. Sorry, guys. There we go. From the top. The splendor of the King. Of your son Jesus, through whom we can share everlasting life with you. God, we thank you for today. God, we pray that you would go before us, Lord, and that we would honor you with our lives. Just thank you for this time that we were able to spend together and with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great week.